ourselves to the teaching of God's word. Fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion. Won't you come and join us?
Welcome to the Sustaining Word, a listener-supported teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Wisconsin. Join Pastor Joe Guglielmo for today's study from God's Word, the Bible. Stay tuned at the end of the broadcast for program ordering information.
We wouldn't think much about that, but it's a big one. And then arrogance, evil way, the perverse mouth. God hates these things in our lives. So if you are moving towards God, then you're moving away from evil to the point of hating evil, hating pride, hating arrogance, hating the evil way, hating the perverse mouth. We as Christians need to flee these things that the Lord hates. In fact, we should have a deep hatred for them instead of embracing them. Why? Because these evil practices destroy not only our relationship with God, but they destroy other people's lives. And we'll look at that more in our next point in a few minutes. But man, it is amazing what pride can do to the human heart. It's kind of like a terminal disease. And once it's kind of like cancer, it gets in there and it just destroys your life. It kills your love for God. It kills your passion for God. It kills your desire for God. You know, one writer said this. He said, pride is the cause of most, if not all, problems in marriage, business, church, school, yes, even in families. Yeah, I mean, I can't tell you the number of people within marriages, it's a pride issue. They won't let go. They won't surrender. There's always the problem. Well, you know, 42 years ago, you remember what you said. Oh, my God, I don't remember what I said 5 minutes ago, okay? But fine, you got 42 years down. That's pretty darn good. Let it go. Don't hold on to those things. They can be very hurtful. Don't get me wrong. But you know what? You got to let them go and give them to God and let him work in your heart and in your life. He continues on, history is filled with examples of people who have ruined themselves because they let their pride get in the way of life. So don't follow their example. Instead, learn from history and rise above. So what does pride destroy? First, pride will destroy our relationship with God. By definition, pride is the exaltation of self. When self is exalted, it dishonors God. For he says so, God is opposed to the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Think about it. In the Garden of Eden, in the very beginning, before the fall of man, Adam fellowshiped with God. They walked together in the garden. Can you imagine that? Walking, beautiful Garden of Eden. They're walking together, fellowshipping. And then sin entered the picture. And that sin separated Adam from God. And this is what took place in Genesis 3, verses 8 through 10. And they heard the sound of the Lord. This is after sin entered. They heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. Then the Lord God called to Adam and said, "Where are you?" So he said, "I heard your voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself." Wow. That intimate relationship with God was now broken because of sin. And he hid himself. He knew that his sin was exposed. Can you hide yourself from God? You can't. He knows where you're at. You know, when God said, "Adam, where are you?" It wasn't that he lost Adam. He knew exactly where Adam was. This is a call to Adam. Come on, Adam. What happened here? I think when we're involved in sin, we do that. We hide ourselves from God. We distance ourselves from him. It's because we don't want to stop what we're doing, and that's pride. Proverbs 16, verses 18 and 19. Pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. Better to be of a humble spirit with the lowly than divide the spoil with the proud. I mean, think about this for a minute. During a lightning storm, which trees tend to get hit first? Which trees attract lightning? The tallest ones. Wow. As we stand tall and proud, don't get close to me. God's going to bring you down, not because he hates you, but he's trying to awaken you. It's better to humble yourself in the sight of the Lord and let him lift you up than to lift yourself up and let him humble you. And pride will destroy people's lives. Even Christians, as we stand tall and proud, God will deal with it because he loves us. And in verse 19 of Proverbs 16, it's saying that it's better to be poor and humble than rich and proud. Yeah. That was Samson, you know, proud, arrogant. And he's going to get more and more prideful and more bold in his pride. And it's going to reach a point in his life that he's pushed God completely out of his life. And it says that God departed from him. And he didn't even know it. How could he not know it? Because he had pushed God so far away, this process reached a point where he wasn't even aware that God was gone anymore. How sad. But that's not the end of the story for Samson. Praise God for that. What Samson is doing here is just prideful because, like I've said, he knew the Philistine men were not going to be able to figure this out in 7 days, 7 years, 7,000 years. There's no way they would figure this riddle out from what Samson had told them. And that's the pride of Samson. Look at verse 15 here in Judges chapter 14. So it came to pass on the seventh day that they said to Samson's wife, "Entice your husband that he may explain the riddle to us, or else we will burn you and your father's house with fire. Have you invited us in order to take what is ours? Is that not so?" Then Samson's wife wept on him and said, "You only hate me. You do not love me. You have posed a riddle to the sons of my people, but you have not explained it to me." And he said to her, "Look, I have not explained it to my father or my mother, so should I explain it to you?" Now she had wept on him 7 days while the feast lasted. And it happened on the seventh day that he told her, because she pressed him so much, then she explained the riddle to the sons of her people. Let me kind of give you an overview of what's going on here, and then we'll look at this topic of how pride works, that it affects the effects on other people. Samson gave these Philistine men this riddle. Out of the eater came something to eat, and out of the strong came something sweet. They have no idea what that's about. They can't figure it out. 3 days going over this thing, and they couldn't come up with a good explanation of what it meant. So as they gave up on their own, they come to the bride of Samson, and they give this bride-to-be a little incentive to find out what the answer was to the riddle Samson gave them. And they either figured out that she knew it or she would be able to get Samson, obviously, to tell her what that riddle was all about. And they gave her this incentive to figure this out. "Hey, you either tell us this or we are going to burn you and your father in his house. You're going to be destroyed." Well, that's a good incentive, right? Obviously, these guys were not exactly friends of Samson or his wife, but they're looking out for themselves. And so with that incentive, Samson's Philistine wife nags Samson and nags Samson, even to tears, to find out what this riddle was about. Now, first of all, he should have never married this woman. Secondly, you can't let nagging and tears cause you to do something that you should not do. Samson knew what he was doing, or so he thought, in pride. And we see that over and over in Samson's life. It's just prideful. Is there a discrepancy between what's said in verse 15 and verse 17 here in Judges chapter 14? Well, I don't think there's a contradiction. Verse 15, though, says these 30 Philistine men came to her and asked her on the seventh day to go and pressure her husband and find out what the riddle was all about. And yet verse 17 says it was the first day of the feast she was asking. So why? What is that about? Well, one writer said, "This statement is not a variance with that in verse 15, to the effect that it was only on the seventh day that the Philistine young men urged her with threats to entice Samson to tell the riddle, but may be explained very simply in the following manner. The woman had already come to Samson every day with her entreaties from simple curiosity, but Samson resisted them until the seventh day, when she became more urgent than ever, in consequence of this threat on the part of the Philistines." Yeah, I think that's the way to look at that. So the tears broke Samson down to do something probably he shouldn't have done, tells her the riddle, and what does she do? She goes and tells these Philistine men. And I guess she trusted these Philistine men more than her own husband. I don't know. It's not a great way to start out a marriage. And here's the thing. Our pride, our arrogance is going to affect our relationship with others. It can affect our relationship with our spouse, as we see here with Samson and his new wife, with our friends, as we see here with these Philistine men, although I wouldn't really call them close friends to Samson. He didn't even know them, but they were supposedly friends at this bachelor party. It can affect our relationship at work, at church, anywhere and everywhere. Why? Because we can let pride, the pride that we're holding on to, affect our relationship with others. That's what we're seeing here with Samson. What's the point of this whole riddle thing? There's none except to show himself being smarter, wiser than these 30 Philistine men. Our pride can be deadly. I'll give you an example from Chuck Yeager. He was a test pilot. He was flying an F-86 Sabre over a lake in the Sierras, and he decided to buzz a friend's house near the edge of the lake. I guess, you know, boys will be boys. And during a slow roll, he suddenly felt the aileron lock, and that's kind of a hinged surface on the trailing edge of an airplane wing, and it controls the lateral balance. So Yeager said this: it was a hairy moment, I guess so, flying about 150 feet off the ground and upside down. Wow. He said a lesser pilot might have panicked with fatal results, but Yeager led off on the G's, pushed up the nose, and sure enough, the aileron unlocked, climbing to 15,000 feet where it was safer. And Yeager tried the maneuver again, and every time that he rolled, the problem reoccurred. Yeager knew three or four pilots had died under similar circumstances, but to date, investigators were puzzled as to the source of the Sabre's fatal flaw. Yeager went to his superior and with a report, and the inspectors went to work. They found that a bolt on the aileron cylinder was installed upside down. Eventually, the culprit was found at a North American plant. He was an older man on the assembly line who ignored instructions about how to insert that bolt, because by golly, he knew that bolts were supposed to be placed head up, not head down. In a sad commentary, Yeager says that nobody ever told the man how many pilots he had killed. Do you see how pride can affect other people? We think we know better. No, God knows better. We need to listen to him. Proverbs 13:10 says this: by pride comes nothing but strife, but with the well-advised is wisdom. The Amplified Bible puts it, by pride and insolence comes only contention, but the well-advised is skillful and godly wisdom. The Living Bible, pride leads to arguments. Be humble, take advice, and become wise. Yeah, pride leads to contentions. I know better. I can't tell you how many times I've been driving and my wife's in the car with me, and I will tell her, no, this is the way we need to go. She's not here to comment on that. She was, praise God, because she would tell you stories. Yeah, that's just pride on my part. And there, you know, when I figured out that I'm going the wrong way, I have to humble myself and go, you were right. Yeah, but that's with God, isn't it? You know, sometimes we're so prideful and we're fighting and fighting and fighting. And then we go, oh, I'm sorry, God, I was wrong. We want those relationships to heal. Pride can become a Mr. Know-it-all who's never wrong. We need to listen to not only what the Lord is saying, but even what people are saying, as long as it's in accordance with the Word of God. C.S. Lewis had this to say regarding pride. He said, it is pride which has been the chief cause of misery in every nation and every family since the world began. Other vices may sometimes bring people together. You may find good fellowship and jokes and friendliness among drunken people or unchaste people, but pride always means enmity. It is enmity. And not only enmity between man and man, but enmity to God. Yeah. Pride is kind of an ugly monster, and the more you feed it, the worse it gets, and the more it destroys relationships with family and friends. Samson didn't have any friends. The children of Israel, his own people, he didn't have friends with. That's a very sad commentary, because he's a judge in Israel. He's supposed to be leading people, right? Who's he leading? Himself. That's pride again. One writer said, one word in the English language describes almost every problem that almost everyone will face or faces. That word is pride. It's a short five-letter word, yet when it's placed into action, it destroys everything in its path. It will destroy homes. It will destroy love for others, destroy nations. Great and small nations are affected by this attitude. Important and insignificant people will be affected by pride and foolish actions of prideful individuals. Pride is like a giant boulder rolling down a mountainside. It destroys everything in its path, and no one is immune to it. So each person must look within himself or herself and keep this emotion under control. Because pride will cause people to speak when they should not, act when it's inappropriate, and hurt others who are dear to them. A prideful person is defined in the negative way as one that has an unduly high opinion of oneself. It is one who is arrogant and one who seems haughty. Pride, like many other things that God condemns, comes from within man. That area in us is our heart. Everything we do and everything we say stem from our heart. Have we ever stopped to notice the middle letter of the word pride? Just like in the word sin, the middle letter is I. Could it be said that pride and sin are always what I want to do, think, and act? The one thing that will stop a family from healing is a prideful attitude of a family member. The one thing that will stop communication is a prideful attitude. But on the positive side, the one thing that will help all of us to heal from the hurt of another is being proud of God's word. It will lead all men to knowledge and to the truth. A family can be proud that it stands together and is united all because they are proud of each member in the family. However, care and constant lookout will need to be done to ensure Satan will not try to tempt God's people to have that negative side of pride. And, you know, I've seen this within my own family that, you know, one of our children had some kind of anger issues towards us. And for years, didn't even want to talk with us. It was really a sad situation. But we always tried to keep the door open. We always wanted to humble ourselves and say, you know, whenever you're ready, we're here. And, you know, we come to find out that, you know, the big deal was that when he was a kid, we yelled at him. God, if that's the worst I did, woo-hoo, father of the year. But what happened was that the relationship was able to be healed. Because I could have been really angry. What, that's it for all these years? Whatever, you know, I don't care. That's the past. We're living here in the present now. Let those things go. I mean, why hold on to them? You know, life is short, man. And if you're having problems with relationships, you need to check your heart. Is it something I have done? Now, sometimes it's not. Sometimes the other person doesn't want to have anything to do with you. And there's nothing you could do about that. But pray for them. Keep that door open if any time they want to come. When my kids were living, you know, in rebellion and dealing in drugs and all kinds of things, they always knew that they could call us. They could always come and talk with us. That door was always open. It was never closed. We loved them. We didn't love what they were doing, but we loved them. We have to be careful. We don't let pride build a wall up between people. It's not a good thing. I think one of the problems today, and I hate to say this, but I've been saying this for a long time, probably for the 25 years that I've been up here, but we've let all this psychobabble come right into the church, and it's destroying relationships. You know, Robert Schuller got this started, and it's grown to where this is a normal practice in the church. And some don't see this as a big deal, but he says, late Robert Schuller said, sin is a psychological self-abuse. Well, really? So sin is a psychological abuse. So God, you are a horrible God. Look what you're doing to us by calling that a sin. We're good people. Oh, really? That's pretty prideful when you're telling God that he's wrong. He also said, sin is any act or thought that robs myself of another human being of his or her self-esteem. It's just a loss of pride, sin. How do you get around scriptures that contradict what he's saying? Well, it's simple. In one of his radio interviews many years ago, Dr. Schuller was asked that specific question. And this is how he answered it. Listen carefully how, when scripture contradicts what you're saying, just because it's in the Bible doesn't mean you should preach it. Oh, now we get to edit God's word. Is that a little prideful? Yeah, I think it is. But it's biblical. Think about this. This is biblical. Remember back in Genesis, what did Satan say to Eve? Has God indeed said? There's the challenge for God's word. You look at some of these teachers, pastors, leaders today, and that's exactly what they're doing. Has God indeed said that? This isn't a sin. This isn't a problem. Has God indeed said? We have to be careful. That's prideful. In fact, he believes that we should glorify every human being and don't assault their self-esteem. What we need, he declares, is a theology of salvation. Let me continue. A salvation that begins and ends with a recognition of every person's hunger for glory. I hate to say it, but, you know, only God deserves our glory, not us. He's got that wrong. We are to be God-centered, not man-centered. And that's just prideful. Paul in Philippians chapter 2, verses 1 through 3 said, therefore, if there's any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each of us esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. Here's the thing. It's not about us. It's first about God, then it's about others, and then it's about me. Jesus, others, you. Oh, that's joy. Oh, maybe people are not so joyful because they got things out of order. Put Jesus first, put others, and then yourself. And I realize, yeah, but what about me? I guarantee you that if you have everything in order, God will take care of you. He'll meet you where you're at. I have seen that over the years. Believe me. Listen to what God has said. You know, if we start to think too highly of ourselves, we're going to be in trouble. We're like the tall trees in a lightning storm. We're going to be struck down. In Romans 12:3, Paul said, for I say, though the grace given to me to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. Oops, I shouldn't preach on that one, huh? No, it's the whole counsel of God, right? From Genesis through Revelation. Hey, we're not to think too highly of ourselves. Why? Because we're nothing. We're frail. I mean, think about it. These bodies, I've been in the medical field for a long time. These bodies are very frail. Your pH has to be within a small range. And if it starts going out, you could die. You think about it. You think about these human bodies, how fragile they are. I'm thankful that I have a God that holds my life together, that holds your life together. I can't think too highly of myself because I know myself. I mean, you do not want me, you know, building your house or fixing your car. There is no way. Oh my gosh, that is just the crazy thing. We are to help each other, minister to each other, help each other grow, mature in the Lord. And again, we're not the Holy Spirit. We're not meant to be the Holy Spirit, but we're to love each other and even correct each other when needed. There was a story from years and years ago, a lady who went with a party to the British Museum, and she was expressing contempt and dissatisfaction at everything she saw. I know if you've ever been around people that just complain about everything. Oh, it's too sunny outside. It's too cloudy outside. It's not, you know, this. It's not that. That was this lady. She basically protested it was a waste of time to continue and urged the company to hasten their departure. Finally, they thanked the gentleman in attendance who was taking them on the tour, and they're about to leave. And he detained them by the following address to their haughty companion. Listen to what he said. This is pretty bold. He said, when I first saw you, madam, I was struck with your beauty and interesting appearance, but you soon gave me occasion to change my opinion. I pity the man that marries you. I'm sorry. I pity the man that marries you. If anyone ever will, certainly I would not. And I fear for you unless some alteration takes place in your taste, manners, and habits. Madam, I wish you a good day. Wow. Well, many years later, the gentleman waited upon another company at the museum, and when they took their leave and thanked him for his polite attentions, there was a woman who stepped forward and expressed her gratitude in a manner that was more than appropriate for the situation. And the gentleman was rather surprised and, you know, thanked her for being so kind. And she said, "Sir, my obligations to you far exceed those which you have conferred this morning." She then recalled to his memory the previously mentioned circumstance and added, "I am that woman, and to you I am indebted next to this gentleman who is my husband for the happiest influence on my life and character arising from that very pointed but helpful reproof which you then administered."
Devoting ourselves to the teaching of God's word, fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion, won't you come and join us as we feast on God's word?
That's all the time we have for today's teaching. If you would like a personal copy of this message, mention today's date when you contact us. Our mailing address is Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Post Office Box 224, Manitowoc, Wisconsin 54221-0224. Our telephone number is area code 920-682-6163. Or visit us on the web at www.thesustainingword.com, where you can listen to past studies and review the study notes. It is the hope of Pastor Joe and the congregation of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, that you would grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Until next time, may the Lord nourish you with His sustaining word.